Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
And a happy New Year to all our listeners. This is Tony and Lorianne on the Worcester Reports, and today's interview is special to us. We've known Keisha Buka for about 3 years. She's a missionary with Iris Western Cape, where we had come for outreach in 2016, and she was very much a leader for us, somebody whose example we followed. And more recently, we work with her quite closely, particularly in a kids' club in Vink Riviere, just trying to show some pretty unruly farm children that there's a better way than maybe fighting and shouting all the time. But Keisha is going to be gone from the kids' club fairly soon. On the 19th of January, she is going to get married to Pastor Alexis Hakizimana from Rwanda. And I thought it would be interesting for our listeners to hear how this couple got together, and just to get an insight into what I believe will be a glorious future for Alexis and for Keisha. By the way, if anybody knows an African-speaking youth pastor who'd like to take over from her every Wednesday in Vink Riviere, then get in touch with us. Regular listeners to CWCP Radio may recall that a few months ago I interviewed Keisha Buka of Iris Western Cape. And that is there for everyone to go back and listen to, as is today's interview, because Keisha is back here with me with her fiancé, Pastor Alexis Hakizimana.
Yeah.
Alexis, did I get the name right?
Yeah, it is right.
And I'm going to tell you there's something about this couple that is very obvious to me. It may not be to the listeners. Mm. She is about as white as you can get, and he is about as black as you can get. So we're all very excited about this match that has been made in heaven, and they come from totally different countries.
Yeah.
So just so that we can enjoy this process, you've heard Alex's voice. Now let's hear Keisha's voice again. Hello, Keisha.
Hi, Tony.
And it was all a surprise to me, because I remember at the kids' club in Vink Riviere that Alex would suddenly appear. He'd be there. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was a missionary from somewhere. I had no idea that you were an item at that time.
I had been a mission.
Yes. He was on a mission.
You were on a mission. So each of you tell the story from your own point of view of how this happened, how this remarkable meeting happened. Alex, you go first. How did you first discover Keisha?
Okay, thank you very much to give me a chance to talk with your listener. My name is Pastor Hakizimana Alexis. I'm original from Rwanda. Rwanda is a small country. It is in East Africa. Now I am here in South Africa with my fiancée Keisha. I thank God. It was a long time to meet with her, but I thank God, because now I am with her and I am here in this country, and I am happy to let you know that if you are a good listener to God's voice, you will win everything.
When did you first see her?
I think it was in February this year. It was not my first time to see her, but clearly, it was February this year when she came to teach in our discipleship school in Rwanda.
So you invited her to come and teach in your school?
Yeah, she was invited with my friends called Thomas and Erna from... Erna, she's from America. Thomas is from Switzerland. So I was with them in the same church in Cape Town. So she was invited with them. Then she met me in Rwanda. Mm. Yeah.
So, Keisha, you got this invitation.
Mm.
What was your immediate? Was it a natural thing to do, to go off to Rwanda and teach in school?
When Thomas and Aaron first told me they were going to Rwanda, something jumped in my spirit, because that country has always had a special place in my heart. And it was, I think, in 2014 where I had the first desire to go to Rwanda, and I wanted to build a hospital when I was working in architecture. So I have a long history and a desire to visit this country. But when Thomas and Aaron said they were going, my immediate reaction was that I would like to support them in their mission. And I asked how I could give, and they said, we would love for you to join us. And I just never thought that would be possible, because I'm called to South Africa at this time. But the thought just really didn't leave me. So I took 2 or 3 weeks to pray about it. And yeah, I felt like God said, I want to take you on a honeymoon in Rwanda. And that he wanted to give me one of the desires of my heart, that I'd wanted to go there. So I did call back Thomas and Aaron. I said, I'd love to join you on this mission trip. And then I met Alex there.
So when she arrived and you first saw her and met her, how did you view her? Did you see her as a missionary just coming to work with you? Or did you immediately start thinking, this is the girl for me?
Yeah, because I think it was 2012. So I was in my room praying, asking God whom I would be with. So then Holy Spirit shows me the white lady with three names. So every day I was waiting to see the one whom God told me to meet with. It was a long time, 6 years. So I started to forget everything. So when she came to teach in our school, I went to wait for her with Thomas and Aaron. And Aaron was friend with her. So Thomas didn't even know her. When we reached Chikara International Airport, Aaron left. He forget passport. So if you don't have passport in Rwanda, you're not allowed to enter inside of airport. So I entered inside of airport with the Thomas. So I was waiting someone whom I don't know, and Thomas was waiting someone whom he don't know. So when Keisha came, I told Thomas that Keisha is that one. He asked me, Alex, how did you know Keisha? I said, I know. I feel that one is Keisha. So the reason why I told him that is Keisha, it is the message I got in 2012 about the white lady who will be my wife with three names. So when I saw her by airport, I realized that she's the one. So I told Thomas that the Keisha is that one. She came with the big team with white people. So I told him that Keisha is that one who is coming. So she came, then I went with Thomas and we asked her if she's Keisha. Yes, she said, yes, I'm Keisha. So this is how I met you. It is my first time to see her. I realized that she's the one.
Keisha, on this great trip, can you cast your mind back and try and remember the time when you first saw Alex and what you were feeling, what thoughts you had at that time? Maybe they were entirely administrative.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. I was just excited to be in the country. And I think I remember when he greeted me and he said, Welcome in Rwanda. We love you. And I thought, oh, these Rwandans are so friendly. And then I think we, at some point, we went to the school that day. But I think I was also really tired, so I didn't think anything romantic. But we did have meetings regarding the ministry that he leads, and I thought he's a really good leader and a man of God, and I respect him a lot. Yeah.
So, on that first trip, how did things develop between the two of you, if at all?
Actually, he asked me what kind of ministry I like to do, if I wanted to preach. And I said, I don't want to preach. I like small groups. I don't like a lot of attention. I like small groups, and I like to share my heart. I want to teach about love with girls. So he got a group of girls together in one evening for me to do a teaching. And he had to take me on the bus to this location. And on the way, he was asking me, so what are you going to teach the girls? And I said, about love. And he said, what message did God give you about love? And I started to share, just that God first loved us and that he enables us to love like he does so we can know his heart and we share his heart with the world. And I don't know, I think that message touched his heart somewhere. But it's also really nice because I also hadn't had a man that would ask me that kind of personal question up front. So we had a connection pretty much immediately. Nice talk in the bus. And then from there was openness to continue to get to know each other the rest of the time I was there.
Did it cross your mind at that time that this could be a long-term relationship?
No, still not. No.
But you, Alex, you did think it could be a long-term relationship, right?
Yeah, I started to think about it too, and I the first time to see her by airport, particularly international airport. So from that time up to the time I went to teach my young daughters, I was just thinking about it. Yeah.
All right, so that was the first visit. But you went back to Rwanda again, didn't you?
Yes.
So tell us how that happened. Whether that had an ulterior motive.
Not exactly. But part of the story is, before I left Rwanda the first time, Alex asked me, if God wish, could you love me? And I thought it was a trick question. Because, of course, if God wants, then I could love you. But I ended saying that I would pray about it. So from that point on, I knew I was coming back to Rwanda because Johanna Marie wanted to visit later that year. So I knew I had time to think about and pray about it. So, from February to June, Alex kept in touch with me. And I was telling him, I think God says we should just be friends and that you're a leader, that we should stay in contact because we're going to do ministry together in the future. But I just want to be friends. And he said, nah. He said that's...
What did you say, Alex?
She was just complicated. She was she was asking me if I can be her brother and the umbrella. She's white. I was telling her that I am black and you are white. I can't be your brother, but I can be your husband. it was just complicated to everything. So,
all right. So, what would you say, Keisha, is the next key stage of this embryo romance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I knew that Alex had strong feelings for me and that he was very honest about that. He wasn't playing games. But I knew that when I gave my answer that I needed to know that it was clear from God. So I was really seeking him about the calling of my life, and also that I have made South Africa my home. And I knew that if I say yes, it means I would move to Rwanda. So it wasn't a matter of needing to know if I had feelings for him or not, but that I needed to know it was God's will. And I think from May and June, I told him I needed to stop communication because I needed to have a clear mind and heart to hear from God. And I said, I'll talk to you when I see you in July. And I did have a clear mind and heart to hear from God, but still nothing specific. But then when I went in July, I told Johan and Marie that I was open to meeting with Alex as more than a friend, and that this trip might determine if it was going to go further. So when we were traveling around Rwanda with our spiritual parents in the same car, it wasn't that easy to talk about our feelings. But I remember going to the village where he grew up, and I saw all the families running out to greet him. And I really saw him also coming alive in a different way. And I thought, oh, I really like this guy. But now how I have to tell him that? So he asked me, Keisha, why are you looking at me like you love me but you won't say it? And I said, I have to tell you later. So we asked Johan and Marie if we could have some time to talk. And that was a really important time because he opened my heart where I had been very self-protective to love because of relationships in the past. And in that moment, he just started praying for me, and he asked God to heal my heart in any area where I was believing lies about love. And I knew that God was saying, like, this is a safe person, and he will love you like I love you. So then I said yes.
So did he actually propose at that point, or did you feel he'd already proposed?
Well, in Rwanda, you don't have a girlfriend and boyfriend. So we kind of skipped that dating phase. And I kept telling him, slowly, slow, slow, slow. But I think for us, because we are the age that we are as well, saying yes is in a committed way to moving forward in our future together. But saying yes to marriage happened a couple months later.
Yeah. Let's come forward to almost the present. Now you are betrothed, and there's a wedding coming up. Tell us about that. Tell us when it's going to be. Alex?
We have a wedding next month, 19th, by Robinson. So I think it will be an amazing wedding because the Holy Spirit will be there alive.
Now you're going to have more than one wedding, aren't you?
Oh, yes, we'll have also a wedding in Rwanda, where I was born, and we'll have a wedding in America, where Keisha was born. So, but I think the biggest wedding will be, and another one will be short wedding.
So after that many weddings, I think you would be well and truly married.
Yeah, I hope so.
How have your folks reacted to all this, Keisha?
Yeah, when I first told them that I met someone, I think they weren't surprised, but that I met someone in Rwanda was a little bit of a surprise. But they came to visit in September and spent 2 weeks getting to know Alex, and they saw his heart and learned his story, and I think that, yeah, they really also fell in love with him the way that I did. So they are very inclusive that he's a part of our family, and they're coming back for our wedding next month and really looking forward to that.
So we've looked at the past, we've looked at the near future. Mm. Let's look forward at the mid-term future. How do you see things panning out, say, over the next 2 or 3 years? Alex.
Yeah, thank you very much. We are in the ministry. I am a discipleship trainer because we are training missionary people to extend God's kingdom all over the world. So I think in 3 years, ministry will be strong, and I will have strong also family with Keisha. I think in 3 years, everything will be fine in ministry and in my in our personal life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also lead Healing for Nations Church in Rwanda. We have something like community reconciliation where I was born because of Rwandan history. You know, in Rwanda it was genocide in 1994. Some tribe who took it to the tribe, so we are trying to do reconciliation to the place where I was born, because that time I lost all my family, my father, my grandfather, my six brothers. Yeah, I'm alone. So when I received Jesus, the Holy Spirit told me to forgive everyone who killed my family. So I wrote the letter to the one guy who was in jail for death penalty. So he's now in the community. So every Saturday we go there and we share word of God with the people for reconciliation. So we have also children's center. So I know in 3 years everything will be in position.
So you feel that Keisha can help you with this incredibly important ministry of reconciliation?
Yeah, she would help me, because the first time to visit her here in Robinson, I saw her how she's struggling with the kids club. So I think it will be easy for her to struggle with my people, with our people in Rwanda.
Compared with the kids club, everything would be easier.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Keisha, this is a wonderful new departure for you, to move to an area where you're actually working in the whole field, very important field of reconciliation. Are you excited about that?
Yes. I think that, right now it feels a little bit out of my league, and also like a dream come true at the same time. So I think that's a God dream when it feels too big for you. But I know that He's leading me, and I'm full of excitement. Yeah.
Well, I'm in a position to tell you both that there's no greater pleasure than being on the mission field with your wife.
Yeah.
And I know some people who haven't, don't have that pleasure. You know, their wives are at home or their husbands are at home and they're on the mission field. And there's no comparison. So I know for a fact that you will get enormous joy from working together. And I can tell that you are 100% compatible. It's going to be fantastic. And thank goodness we don't know all the details of the future, or life would be boring.
Mm.
But it sounds to me a match made in heaven, with all sorts of heavenly outcomes which are already planned for you.
Amen. Mm.
Is there anything that either of you, if you could ask God for it and you really want it, that you can share with me? Is there something that you really would like to have that would complete your happiness? Or do you feel everything is complete already?
Yeah, and thank you very much for interview, to give us your time, and we share this issue for you in this radio. I know in mission field it is not easy, because we are training people to do the mission. We have some team in Somalia, in South Sudan, and we are training another team to go in Somalia. We need your prayer to God to be with us, God to protect us. I have some small project to deal with the Rwandan government, because in police and the military, they are going to different countries for peacekeeper. So I need your prayer because I want to have time to train them how they can preach the gospel when they are in Somalia, when they are in Sudan, when they are in some Muslim country where they used to go for peacekeepers. So we need your prayer because we need to train them to extend God's kingdom when they are in mission of government. Thank you very much for your time. May God bless you.
Well, I'm so impressed that you have all those plans already laid out. I think all you have to do, Keisha, is just follow the dots and do whatever he says.
Hang on tight.
Do you have any wishes that you'd love to see happen that haven't yet happened? Something you maybe prayed for a long time?
Yeah, I think we both wish to have an example family. So that includes having children of our own and also bringing in kids that maybe don't have a healthy family. But I think that's a dream for both of us, to have an example family where people can receive God's love through example. Yeah.
It's been my honor and privilege to talk to you both. I actually didn't think that you would say yes, so...
Thank you.
But you just used the word example a couple of times, and as an example to other people, possibly other couples in a similar situation, I can't think of anyone who could be a better example than the two of you.
Yeah.
And you're going to help so many people just by being you. Mm.
Aww,
so
thank you, Tony.
Just be happy and be joyful.
Thank you very much.
God bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in gratitude and positivity. Giving up negativity for the new year. My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we journeyed through divine appointments that were given during the Christmas holidays. Often people are more open to receiving help at Christmas, and this opens them up to the real meaning of Christmas, about Jesus. The gift is Jesus, not physical presents, as good as they can be sometimes. This year, Tony and I had two Christmases, a South African one with our friends Andre and Janie, and one with some of our Irish Western Cape family, Maggie, Keisha, and Keisha's fiancé, Alex. They are to be married on January 19th. We greatly look forward to that event and blessing their union. We had a Christmas feast with them of hard-to-find turkey, honey-glazed ham, stuffing, veggies, and two puddings, syllabub and Christmas pudding. We've not had turkey since Christmas Thanksgiving 2017, so this was a big treat for us. Life is a time of feasts and fasts. Tony and I have an Anglican background, so we're familiar with the concept of both feasts and fasts. Fasts aren't just for Lent, or when you are praying for miracle breakthroughs in healing or on the mission field. Deeper fasts involve allowing God to change us, which is a good thing. So for the beginning of 2019, we'll step into a refiner's fire for something better. I've heard quite a few prophetic words that 2019 will be a breakthrough year and a new season for many. I trust that that will be the case for you and for us. But when you step from one season to another, there is change and transition. I've spoken on transition before and how we need to keep a thankful attitude during times like this. It opens our hearts to the wonderful surprises that we might miss if we are in complete mode. I'm not talking about a one-off rant. Sometimes we need that. I'm talking about stopping a lifestyle of complaining that just drags us down. While many others are considering New Year's resolutions of losing weight, which is something I've already been doing for weeks, we're going to offer a different challenge. How about a fast from negativity? We can do this in small steps. But how do we fast at all? Some people do fast during Lent, the season between Epiphany and Easter. It's a devotional time to remember Jesus' earthly ministry and his suffering. It's an intentional time of discipleship. My Anglican priest John tells us to not just give something up, but to take something on. So perhaps what you might take up is more devotional time, more dates with Jesus, or maybe volunteering in a soup kitchen. Some give up coffee, tea, chocolate, or sweets. One year I gave up television, and another credit cards. Some of them give up Facebook or other social media. And then in 2015, I took on a negativity fast for Lent, although sadly, I didn't continue it throughout the year. In 2015, I had just finished my third Ways to Grow talk on thankfulness and gratitude. Originally, I had planned to write only one post on being thankful, but there was so much more on the topic that I realized, and out came four talks. It was the same as when I wrote an honor, which resulted in three talks. I believe one major barrier to thankfulness and gratitude is a complaining attitude. You may remember that ingratitude, grumbling, and complaining kept the Hebrews in limbo land. Their fear and complaining kept them stuck between Egypt and Canaan, their promised land. This attitude can also keep us stuck in the quicksand of nagging, doubts, and complaints. If it feels like we're being pulled down by this bog, we are. This situation can even be life-threatening. Endless complaining and nagging steals the joy and life out of you. Even if you try these methods to motivate, they often backfire. Husbands and wives of nagging spouses can relate to this phenomenon. Back in 2015, I was drawn to learn more about the joy of the Lord. This is something that is called our strength in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. He shared a message of encouragement to the disappointed Jewish refugees after they arrived to see Jerusalem in ruins. Nehemiah told them to go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That was to be not only a feast of food, but a feast of trusting God. The joy he describes is more of a deep contentment and trust in God. It's not always actual laughter, but it can include this as well. Sometimes this is like being so filled with the Holy Spirit that you can't help laughing. But usually it's an unshakable knowing that God is faithful. You believe you will be okay despite difficult circumstances. This is a joy that comes even in suffering and is far deeper than the optimist's half-full glass. It is more like the cup of thankfulness that runs over that King David mentions in Psalm 23, verse 5, which depicts a feast in the midst of a difficult time. David prayed, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." This cup of joy or blessing sustains you even in the deepest, darkest suffering. It is not diminished in persecution or difficult times. The cup sustains us because of the one who gives us this cup. When you drink this cup of joy, your eyes are completely focused on him. I thirsted to journey with and for more of that joy. I took a stand on negativity and complaining in my own life, and took the stand again when Heidi Baker asked us to go on a negativity fast at Harvest School. It was more difficult in Mozambique since I was already in an intense refining season that was necessary for people to see Jesus in me without my own worries getting in the way. But I did try, as I will again. Before Harvest School, my Kingdom Culture pastor, Sean Gaby, prophesied over me and told me that I would go through a difficult refining season, but I was not to quit. During this time, as joy and trust will work deeper into my heart, I remembered encouragement from Heidi Baker not to quit, and then if you don't quit, you win. The other encouragement was from Pastor Sean, who told me to fix my focus forward on what the Father had for me that season. I need to remember these same encouragements in my current weight loss journey, which has had me lose 5 kilos or 11 pounds so far, slow but sure, just like our faith. So back in February 2015, I took a stand on negativity and complaining in my life for the first time. I declared with Sean Gaby that if I have a problem, there is a solution, and if I get impatient, I will leave the struggle in God's hands. I then entered a negativity fast. I had some challenges along the way, and some days I fell completely off the wagon due to disappointments, pauses, and challenges. Confusion and restlessness became my response to delays for hoped-for advances. Yet it's necessary to spend time in the pause to reflect and prepare. We must not rush this season as much as we want to do so. Sometimes, life throws you more difficulties than heavy traffic and a set of red lights on the road when you're in a hurry. How many of us get upset in heavy traffic? How many of us are impatient when you want to do something but the time is not yet? And what about those who deal with other things that hold them back in their daily lives? It may be time for a reframe. What's a reframe? I learned the art of reframing in one of my counseling classes at Tyndale Seminary in Toronto, Canada. To reframe is to look at a bad situation in your life through a new perspective. In order to do this, you must take how you perceive as a difficult situation and choose to see it through a new frame of mind. Sometimes it requires a higher perspective, that of the Holy Spirit. A friend can also give you a different view of how they see you in your current circumstances. When you view a difficult situation in a negative way, it seems even more menacing. It begins to look like you're facing an impossible obstacle. What do I mean by this? Well, think how you may feel if you're having a crummy day. You may believe the crumminess will last all week. You may feel as if a rain cloud is continually over your head, despite the weather. You might feel that negativity encompassing all of your life, when in reality, that difficulty is a very small part of your life. So along comes a friend or a counselor who has the art of reframing. They see possibilities in your difficulty. They see a positive challenge that offers growth and reward on the other side. I recently drew a prophetic drawing while having a soaking and drawing session with our girls that we ministered with through my father's house in Avian Park. We listened to a series of beautiful soaking songs, and then all of us drew. Even Tony drew. The girls drew Christian symbols of hope, faithfulness, peace, and love, as did Tony. I drew a girl who raised her umbrella up against the rain. Although the rain was really an abundance of hearts of God's love, and the umbrella was limiting the flow of love into her heart and life, then I was led to draw Jesus, carrying his cross, and the love that flowed from him to the girl. The word that came to me with the drawing was, "I love you. Don't put a limit on my love for you. Time to put the umbrella down. Soak in the rain of my love." And so that was the Holy Spirit's perspective to one friend who limits God's love in her heart. Some of you may feel the same way, but don't see that you are stuck. So it helps to have a friend who can encourage you in this way. However, you can also learn to do this yourself. This doesn't replace our need for godly friends in our lives, but it does help create a daily discipline of choosing to see every aspect of your life in a positive way. This may be a challenge, but the Holy Spirit can help us. He is the ultimate reframe counselor in our lives. God never puts us down. He never condemns us. He can fix us of sin, yes, but he cleanses us when we come to him and say we are sorry. He also shows us possibilities. He is the God of hope. Have you considered taking a negativity fast? Some people may wait until Lent, but I believe the beginning of the new year is even better. The longer you practice this discipline, the more it will become a daily practice. Leaders Steve and Wendy Backlin of Igniting Hope Ministries encourage this kind of fast for at least 40 days. Christian neuroscientist Caroline Leaf also works on the same principle in a 21-day period. She concentrates on eradicating one negative thought pattern rather than many. But if you target one negative thought or self-talk for a three-week period, by the end of the year, you will be free of so many old lies that you have believed. You will be a much happier person. A negativity fast also includes feasting on and thinking positive thoughts, like Philippians 4 verse 8 encourages us to do. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Consider yourself a pilgrim in the land of the positive. I wish you well on your journey, as we walk along together with thanks and gratitude. May you have a blessed 2019 full of breakthrough and joy. Lord, thank you that you have plans for our future that are to prosper us and not to harm us. Help us as we journey to see the joys and light that you give us. Open our eyes to the lies we tell ourselves and the complaints that fall from our lips. We don't even realize it. Set us free by renewing our minds one thought at a time. Help us day by day as we walk out of the storm into the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
Carolyn Ahrens from Canada with New Year's Day. Now, we all enjoyed New Year's Day. Lorianne and I went out for a wonderful braai with Heather, our friend, and we got home feeling invigorated instead of feeling tired. It was good. But let's have a song now from ABBA, just enjoying the whole concept of New Year's Day. I hope you like this song from 1980.
Champagne and the fireworks are through. Here we are for us to say.
Happy New Year, Happy New Year.
And that was ABBA. New Year is a time to look back on things that we may have enjoyed, things that we felt were worth doing, things that gave us happiness, something special in our spirit. And I've just picked something here that may be of interest to you. One thing that we do is we talk to children about Jesus. Here's a time in Avian Park with an audience, I don't know, 40 or so young people, all keen to hear a little bit about Jesus. They don't know much more about him than his name and that he did some miracles. My friend Soraya Volquin was there to translate into Afrikaans, and you'll get the picture after a while of the way we find it helps to talk to young children from the townships here in Worcester about some of the most important things in life.
And that's the way that people can become a Christian.
En dis die manier hoe mense as Christene kan word.
Lorianne became a Christian a long time ago.
Elle het 'n Christen geword baie baie lank terug.
Tanya became a Christian quite a long time ago.
En Tanya het ook 'n Christen geword baie baie lank terug.
When did you become a Christian, Soraya?
When I was 18, to 18 was, to word ek ook 'n Christen in die Here.
And I became a Christian in 1984.
Mr. Tony, in 1984.
So some of you know who Jesus is.
So baie van julle weet wie Jesus is.
And you would like to follow Jesus.
En sal lyk om vir Jesus te volg.
And that's what we call becoming a Christian.
En dis wat ons noem wanneer jy 'n Christen word.
But that is not the end. That is just the beginning.
Maar dis nie die einde nie, dis is net die begin.
It's at that point when you start feeling that God is talking to you.
Dis die beginsel van wanneer jy voel dat Jesus praat met jou.
Now he doesn't normally talk in a voice like mine.
Nou, God praat nie met 'n stem wat jy kan hoor soos ons praat nie.
Sometimes he talks to you in a dream.
Soms praat die Here met jou in 'n droom.
Sometimes you just get a feeling in your heart that he's talking to you.
Soms kry jy net 'n gevoel in jou hart dat hy saam met jou praat.
Have you ever had one of those feelings, Sarah?
Yeah.
You have.
I have.
Yes.
Ek het al so 'n gevoel.
Have you had some of those feelings?
And yes. Sarah, jy al daai gevoel gehad, so sê weet hoe voel dit?
And God talks to Tanya all the time. She's always telling me, he told me, he spoke to me yesterday.
Yeah, and Tanya ook sê, Tanya sê weet ook hoe voel dit wanneer die Here met ons praat.
So we like to gradually get to know Jesus' voice as he talks to us.
So met tyd, soos tyd aangaan en soos ons groei, sal ons meer en meer die stem van die Here herken en meer sal ons dit leer hoor.
And the reason he likes to talk to us is two reasons.
En die rede, daar's twee redes hoekom die Here hou van met ons praat.
He loves us to talk to him.
Hy hou van dat hy baie lief daarvan as ons met hom praat.
When we're praying.
Wanneer ons bid.
Because he loves us so much.
Want hy is baie lief vir ons.
And when we love someone, we like to talk to them.
En wanneer ons lief is vir 'n persoon, dan hou ons daarvan om met die persoon te praat.
But the other reason, he wants to help us in our lives.
En die tweede rede is God wil ons help in ons lewe.
We like to think he has a plan for our lives.
Hy hou daarvan om te weet dat hy 'n plan het vir ons lewe.
And in fact, when you were first born, before you were even born, God had a plan for your life.
Voor jy nog gebore was, het God 'n plan gehad vir een en elkeen van ons se lewe.
So he's been waiting since then to be able to talk to you and tell you about the plan.
So God het al begin te wag al voor jy nog gebore was om te hoor van jou.
God has a plan for everybody's life.
God het 'n plan vir almal se lewe.
But many people never hear the plan.
Maar baie mense hoor nie die plan nie.
Because they don't know Jesus, they don't become a Christian.
Omdat hulle nie Jesus ken nie en hulle gee nie hulle lewe vir die Here sodat hulle Christen kan word in Jesus.
So it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to be able to follow God's plan.
Dit is 'n wonderlike ervaring om Jesus te ken en om God se plan te volg vir ons lewe.
Now, sometimes when you're following the plan,
soms wanneer mens Jesus se plan volg,
you feel that he wants you to do something.
Jy voel in jou hart dat Jesus wil hê jy moet iets doen.
That you don't think you can do.
Wat jy dink jy kan nie doen nie.
You don't think you have the skill.
Jy dink jy het min ervaring om dit te doen.
Jesus was talking to me about 10 years ago.
Jesus het met my gesit 10 jaar terug gepraat.
And he said, I want you to go to Africa.
En die Here het gesê dat die Here wil hê Mr. Tony moet Afrika toe kom.
And I didn't think that I could do it.
En Mr. Tony het nie gedink dat hy dit kon doen nie.
I didn't think I had the skill.
Hy het nie gedink dat hy is ervare daarvoor nie.
And I didn't really trust him that much.
En Mr. Tony het nie vir die Here vertrou vir dit nie.
But then in the Bible,
maar in die Bybel,
we read about people who God gave plans to.
Ons lees in die Bybel van mense wat God planne vir hulle gegee het, wat die Here in gedagte het vir hulle.
One of the first ones was Abraham.
Die eerste ene was Abraham.
Hands up if you've heard of Abraham.
Jy het van Abraham gehoor?
Good. Good. And Abraham was very, very important.
Abraham was baie, baie belangrijk.
But he didn't think he was capable of carrying out God's plan.
Maar Abraham het nie so gevoel nie, want hy het gedink hy is ervaar genoeg om God se plan uit te leef nie.
But God told him, I will give you all the help that you need.
Maar God het gesê dat God sal hom help en al die hulp gee wat hy nodig het soos hy aangaan.
Another person who didn't think he could carry out God's plan was Moses.
En nog 'n persoon in die Bybel wat die Here wat gedink het dat hy nie die plan van die Here kon uitleef nie was Moses.
Hands up if you've heard of Moses.
Wie van Moses gehoor?
Moses said to God, I can't even speak properly. I get tongue-tied.
Moses sê vir die Here, hy kan nie reg praat nie, want Moses het gehakel.
But God said, I will help you.
Maar God het gesê, ek sal die woorde in jou mond sit. Jy moet net spreek.
And Moses became a great leader.
En Moses het 'n groot leier geword vir Jesus.
And then there was Joshua.
En dan was Joshua.
And Joshua was the one that brought the Israelites back into the promised land.
En Joshua was die Israelite terug na die beloofde land gebring het.
And he didn't think that he was a good enough leader to do that either.
En hy het nie gedink dat hy goed genoeg was om dit te doen nie.
And in the Bible there are many, many people who were not clever.
In die Bybel is daar baie baie mense wat nie slim was nie.
They were not rich.
Hulle was nie ryk nie.
They were a little shy.
Hulle was 'n bietjie skaam.
They didn't really want to talk to people.
Hulle wou nie praat met mense nie.
Is anybody here like that, a little shy, don't really want to talk to people?
Wie is baie skaam om mense te praat?
A few of you maybe. But always God said to them, I will help you.
Maar God het altyd vir hulle gesê dat God sal vir hulle help.
And then they went on to do wonderful work for God.
En dan het hulle voortgegaan en wonderlike werk vir die Here gedoen.
If they hadn't done that work,
as hulle nie die werk gedoen het nie,
we would not be here today.
Sal ons nie hier wees vandag nie.
We wouldn't know about God and
Jesus. Sal ons nie weet van God en Jesus nie.
So we're very, very grateful that they worked and they had God's help.
So ons is baie baie dankbaar dat hulle gewerk het, dat hulle gewerk het vir Jesus en geluister het.
In the Bible there's one of the most important people is Saint Paul.
In die Bybel is daar ook Paul, Apostel Paul.
The Apostle Paul. He wrote 1/3 of the New Testament.
Hy het 1/3 van die Nuwe Testament geskryf.
And he said,
en hy het gesê,
that it is when we are weak,
dis wanneer ons swak is,
that we are strong.
Dan so sterk in die Here.
If we are weak and we don't think that we are very clever and very rich and very able to speak, we think we are weak.
As ons swak is en ons weet dat ons slim nie en ons het nie baie geld nie en ons het nie baie ervaring nie.
But those are just the people that God is looking for.
Maar dis is hoe die mense wat God wil soek, wat God kan leer om te loop in sy glorie.
And why do you think he's looking for those kind of people? He's looking for them because he can teach them. We call them teachable. There are many people in the world who are not teachable. They think they know everything. Do you know anyone who thinks they know everything? Hands up. Anyone know anyone who thinks they know everything? Well, there are people out there, they think they know everything. And God finds it difficult to work with them. Because they always want to do it their way.
Want hulle wil altyd dit hulle manier doen.
And God wants them to do it his way.
En God wil hê dat ons dit God se manier doen.
So what we're learning after all this history,
so wat ons leer van al die geskiedenis,
is that even if you are a little bit shy,
al is jy 'n bietjie skaam,
and you don't think you're very clever,
en jy dink jy is nie slim nie,
and you're not a leader, And you really think that people don't think highly of you. You may be just the person who God will speak to and say, I need your help. Maybe right here in Avian Park, he may say, somebody is sick. I want you to go and comfort them.
And
you may say, I don't know what to say to them if they're
sick.
And God will say to you, I will give you the words. So when you go to see them and they are sick, you will find that God will tell you how you can speak to them. That's why some of us like to visit hospitals. And it's amazing when you're talking to somebody who is very sick. And the words you should say to that person just come into your mind. So that is how God works with people who are weak, and he makes them strong. So is it better to be weak or strong?
So is it better to be weak or strong?
It's better to be weak but have God make you strong. Now when you read your Bible, you'll in many places you will hear this story that I've been telling you. Okay, now we have a special treat for you all.
And that brings our Worcester report for today to a close, apart from our regular soaking music that we have afterwards. We hope that you'll tune in again a week from now. This is Tony and Lorianne wishing you a wonderful 2019. God bless you all. And God bless the wedding of Alex and Keisha on the 19th of January.